is a continuation of our series on Messiah's parables. And actually, we're getting fairly close to the end of Messiah's parables. There's something like 40 or 45 of them, and we're making our way through them. The first one I'm going to cover this morning is the parable of the two sons, and that's found in Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 23. So here's the background to help us understand this parable. The last week of Yeshua's life, Passover was approaching. He was in Jerusalem. The leaders of the nation had rejected Yeshua and were looking for a way to kill the young rabbi from Nazareth. While he was teaching in the temple courts, and that's a bold place for him to be teaching when the leaders are trying to kill him, the chief priests and the elders of the people challenged his authority to do the things he was doing, the things being like teaching in the temple courts and cleansing the temple, which took tremendous boldness, and doing miracles. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked, and who gave you this authority? Yeshua replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, in other words, John was not divinely sent by God, we're afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Yeshua, we don't know. Then Yeshua said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. That's the background for Yeshua's parable about the two sons. So here it goes. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son, the second son, and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. So, in response to his father's order to work in the vineyard, the first son initially refused. But later he changed his mind and did what his father asked him to do. So he disobeyed his father for a time. But after that time of disobedience, he obeyed his father. He started with disobedience, but ended with obedience. The second son initially said yes to his father, but then did not do what his father ordered him to do. He said the right words, but his actions didn't match his words. He appeared outwardly to fulfill his responsibilities, but never actually fulfilled his responsibilities. He started with disobedience, but he also continued and ended with disobedience. This is easy to understand. Now for the truths, which are harder to understand. We don't have to guess what they are, because Messiah told us what they are. Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. The truth was that John was a true prophet, a great prophet. God sent him to get the Jewish people ready for the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, the seed of the woman, the one and only Savior of the world, Yeshua. God called the nation of Israel to repentance and spiritual readiness. Then, when the Son of God did arrive, John identified him. He told the nation that Yeshua was the Messiah and that we must follow him. That was the way of righteousness. That was what was right. That was what God ordered the Jewish people through John to do, to repent, to turn from our sins, to turn to God and be ready for the arrival of the Son of God, and to know that Yeshua is the Son of God and then follow him. That was the way of righteousness. Many of the regular, ordinary people believed John. They repented. They turned to God. They turned away from their sins. They were baptized by John. And when John identified Yeshua as the Messiah and the Son of God, they followed Yeshua. And many tax collectors and prostitutes did that as well. The tax collectors and the prostitutes were the first son in this parable. In the first century, the Romans forced the Jewish people to pay them taxes. Jewish tax collectors did that dirty work for the Romans. They were rewarded by the Romans by being allowed to keep some of the tax money for themselves. Tax collectors were considered to be traitorous collaborators of the despised Roman invaders, corrupt men who were getting rich off the impoverishment of the Jewish people. Tax collectors were not known for being godly, God-fearing men. They sold their loyalty to their people for money. Prostitutes were their female counterpart. Prostitutes sold their bodies for money. There was no question that the tax collectors and prostitutes were sinners. They were disobedient to God. Like the first son, they first said no to obeying God. But when John arrived and called the nation to repent and to be ready to follow the Messiah who would soon appear, the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed John. And when John told them that Yeshua was the Messiah, they believed John, and many followed Yeshua. By doing so, they entered the kingdom of God. What a tremendous thing. Now, in contrast to those tax collectors and prostitutes, most of the leaders did not believe John and did not believe Yeshua or follow him. And their minds weren't changed by seeing proof, by seeing changed lives. Tax collectors and prostitutes believing John, repenting of their sins, and following Yeshua. That made no impact on most of the leaders. Those leaders were the second son. They appeared to be deeply religious individuals on the outside. Their words communicated that they would obey God, But when God ordered them through John to believe in Yeshua and follow Yeshua, and even when Yeshua told them to believe in him, they refused to obey. They refused to believe in Yeshua. They refused to follow Yeshua. It's so, so, so much better to be that first son, a sinner who really repents, who really turns to God and becomes obedient from the heart, than the second son, a sinner who appears to be religious but never really repents and refuses to do what God really wants. Now, what about us? What has the Father ordered us to do today? What is the way of righteousness for us today? Well, it's pretty much the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Know that Yeshua is the Messiah, risen from the dead, the Son of God, who has ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Follow Yeshua. Be loyal to Yeshua. Be devoted to him and his teachings. Be a servant of Yeshua. Seek first his kingdom. Advance God's kingdom ahead of advancing your own kingdom. Advance God's interests ahead of advancing your own interests. How do we do that? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Spirit of Yeshua, we will continue his mission of world evangelism. We will proclaim the gospel. We will tell others about Yeshua. We will share the good news with as many people as we possibly can. We will love Yeshua's community. We will want to build Messiah's community. We will do things on a regular basis to serve our brothers and our sisters. We will give Messiah's community more of our time and talents and treasures. This is the way of righteousness for us today. I'm concerned that some of us who are part of Shema may be not first sons, but second sons. We're religious people, at least on the outside. We say we know God. We claim we are believers. But in our hearts, we're really not obedient to what God has commanded us to do. We say, Lord, Lord, well enough, but we don't obey the Lord we've sworn allegiance to. Our interest in serving God is minimal. Our interest in proclaiming the gospel is minimal. Our desire to build Messiah's community is minimal. The question for us that's so important, are we a first son or a second son? Do we say yes to God, but really don't do what God has ordered us to do? We need to pray. Pray, pray that God reveals to us if we are the first son or that second son. The second and last parable that I will be teaching on this morning is Matthew 22, starting with verse 1. The invitations to a wedding banquet. This parable was another warning to the leaders that because of their rejection of Yeshua, they were going to be judged and removed from their positions of spiritual authority. So this parable is a warning of judgment. While a warning of judgment can seem to be ungracious, It's actually the opposite. It's very gracious. A warning like this parable is meant to help the one being warned. It's meant to help him change before the consequences take place, which are negative, so that the negative consequences don't take place. And if the consequences do take place because the warning was ignored, the warning reveals the truth to those who were warned and to others so that they can learn from their mistakes. It is care, concern, it is grace that produces a warning like this one. Matthew 22, starting with verse 1, Yeshua spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven," and the kingdom of heaven is the way the king, God, rules. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the principles by which he operates. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you can find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" You might have heard that last part phrase, "many are called, but few are chosen." Many are invited, few are chosen. This is Yeshua's warning parable, and it's easy to understand. Here are the truths which are harder to understand. The king is God the Father. He's the high king of heaven. He is a real king of a real kingdom. It is the greatest and most glorious of all governments, all administrations, all kingdoms. It is a perfect kingdom. It is an eternal kingdom. The king is God the Father. The son of the king is King Yeshua. King Yeshua rules the kingdom of God with his father. The high king of heaven, God the Father, sits on the main throne. King Messiah, Yeshua, sits on another throne at the right hand of his father. The high king gives the orders, and King Yeshua carries out the orders of the high king. King Messiah is the executor of the high king. The wedding banquet had the very best, most delicious, tastiest food, oxen and fattened cattle. Think of the best, tastiest meats and steaks. The wedding banquet represents eternal life in the New Jerusalem. Life in the New Jerusalem will be an unending delight. The servants of the king were the prophets and John the Baptist, the greatest of the prophets. God loved the Jewish people and wanted the best for us. So when we went in a bad direction, he sent us prophets, great men, sometimes great women, to call us back to himself and to his ways. When a son of the king is married, he invites people of status to the wedding. The king invites royalty. The king invites the rich and the powerful. The king invites his family and friends and close allies. The king does not invite ordinary people to the wedding of his son. So, the first group of guests who were invited to the banquet were the leaders of the chosen people. They should have known God the best, and they should have served him the most. However, very often, the leaders didn't know God the best and serve him the most. Very often, they acted wickedly and rejected and mistreated and sometimes killed the prophets that God sent to call us back to himself. The leaders of Israel should have been the first ones to recognize Messiah Yeshua and welcome him. They should have used their leadership abilities and their positions of authority to bring the rest of the Jewish people to Yeshua. However, they did the opposite. They rejected, mistreated, and killed the Messiah, who's the greatest of all the prophets. That was the greatest wickedness, the greatest sin of all. The guests who were invited and who refused to come to the banquet because they were more interested in their fields and businesses were those leaders of the chosen people who were more interested in serving themselves and their interests than serving God and God's interests. Most of the Jewish leaders of Yeshua's day were more of the same. The guests who mistreated and killed the king's servants were those leaders who mistreated and killed the prophets. Most of the Jewish leaders of Yeshua's day were more of the same. The execution of those who mistreated and killed the prophets of the who killed the servants of the king and the destruction of their city was the various judgments that God brought on the Jewish people for our wickedness and for our rejection of the prophets. The destruction of Jerusalem and other subsequent judgments on the Jewish people who rejected Yeshua were more of the same. The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and the destruction of the Yeshua-rejecting leaders revealed God's rejection of them as legitimate spiritual authorities. It revealed their loss of salvation and their future in hell. The second group, who were invited to the wedding banquet that the king gave for his son, were those who had not been leaders of the chosen people. They were the ordinary Jewish people who became Yeshua followers. They will experience unending delights in the New Jerusalem. The man at the banquet who did not wear wedding clothes represents false believers, phony believers, fake believers, pseudo Christians and Messianic Jews, Christians in name only, Messianic Jews in name only, the tares, not the wheat, those who say, Lord, Lord, but don't really obey God. The man who didn't wear wedding clothes was tied up and thrown outside, where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. The weeping and gnashing of teeth represents the anger and the remorse that the fake believers will experience on the day of judgment. Many are invited, many are called, but few are chosen. Many hear the good news and respond to some degree, but not the way they really should, not wholeheartedly. They are not saved, those who are invited but aren't chosen. Please, please make sure that that is not you. Make absolutely certain that you are clothed with the garments of salvation. Prove by your life and by your deeds and by your priorities that your faith is real, your faith is genuine, your salvation is real. Don't be that one at the wedding banquet that was not appropriately dressed and was thrown outside. Remember Messiah's gracious warning. Many are invited, but few are chosen.